This is Lorne Greene. Her name was Vinnie Ream. She was a child of the frontier, born in Indian Summer in the year 1847, on the very edge of the wilderness. Her father was a surveyor for the United States of America when it was a fledgling giant struggling to realize its true size and might and destiny. He was one of the few curious and courageous men who charted the unknown regions of the young country. Years later, after an illness disabled him, making him old before his time, his daughter Vinnie would recall him coming home from surveying trips, hatless, the wind and sun in his hair. She would especially remember his last return, his slow walk up the hill, looking for her in their secret place.
Vinnie!
Vinnie! Pa, you're home! Finally home!
I knew I'd find you here.
I thought you'd be coming home today. Oh. I waited here for you.
Well, and how long you been waiting, Vinnie?
Oh, hours, I suppose. But it doesn't ever seem like time passes when I'm here. I feel swallowed up in this place, a part of it.
Yeah, have you been seeing your faces and figures?
Yes, and I found a new one. See there, up along the ridge, how the rocks hang together, so jagged and craggy. Do you see, Pa?
Yeah, it's an old man's face.
Only you can see it as I do. Yes, it's an old man's face.
You love it here, don't you, Vinnie? You'd be sorry to leave.
Yes, very sorry. You look tired, Papa.
Oh, it was a long trip. And I think my last. Vinnie, how would you like to live in the city?
What city?
Washington.
I've never lived in a city. What is it like?
Well, for one thing, there are faces and figures in marble and bronze, not clouds and rock. They're real statues that you could see and touch.
Sounds wonderful. I'd like that. But I should miss this place terribly, Pa.
Yeah, so would I. I'd miss that old man up there. For me, it's like looking in a mirror.
But you're not old.
Yeah, well, I feel old. In Washington, I could find a slower job, quieter.
You're tired, Pa. Let's go down to the house.
Vinnie Ream was destined to leave her home in the wilderness. It was as if she were following one of her father's careful and precise maps. The course was clear for her. In Washington, a man awaited her. A man whose roots were in the West as hers were. A man of large importance and vast melancholy. A man not unlike her father in spirit. He waited to shape Vinnie Ream's life and to give to her her greatest triumph. His name was Abraham Lincoln. They would meet in Washington. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week. Brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, Vinnie Ream, by Pamela Russell. Our stars, Joan McCall, Robert Rockwell, and Jeff Corey.
Washington in 1864 was a hauntingly incomplete city. The Capitol Dome was bare scaffolding, and the Washington Monument fell far short of its intended height. Some frightened citizens saw it all as an omen, a sign that the war would end in the defeat of the Union, that General Lee's army would invade and burn Washington before it was ever a finished city. But for 16-year-old Vinnie Ream, it was a place of excitement, totally different from the wilds she had known, and it filled her with dreams and ambitions. She was a clerk in the post office. She took the job to help her family. Many girls were working, replacing young men who had gone in proud blue uniforms to serve and save their country. Vinnie was a great favorite in the post office, a tiny, swift-moving girl with long black curls down her back.
Vinnie, it's lunchtime.
I just want to finish this.
You write so quickly, but still it comes out so clear and beautiful. Mr. Abercrombie says my hand is like muddy chicken prints.
There, all done.
Let's go outside and eat. It smells so awful in here.
It's sad to think of all the mothers and sisters, daughters and sweethearts who send their soldiers food. And it never reaches them. It sits here and rots.
Yes. And we have to sit here and smell it. Come on, Vinny. It's cold.
Let's sit here in this patch of sun. Oh, the light should be wonderful this afternoon. After work, I think I'll walk over to Lafayette Square.
All I ever want to do after work is take a nap. Doesn't it wear you out, Vinny?
Oh, I get a little tired sometimes. It was hardest in the beginning. I don't know why, but I always feel better after I stand for a while in front of the Andrew Jackson statue in the square.
You like statues, don't you?
Yes, I do.
How's your father, Vinny?
The same. Pa hardly ever leaves his room anymore. I miss him. You know, it's as if the Pa I knew went away and left behind someone who resembles him, but isn't really him. Oh, did I tell you we've taken a boarder?
No.
Senator Ross from Kansas. He's all alone in the city. His family's back home. He's an old friend of my father's. Ma says it'll help having him with us.
Times are hard.
I only wish I could do more to help.
You do as much as a full-grown man, Vinny. Working all day in the office, performing the hospitals for the soldiers at night, singing in two different choirs on Sundays.
I still can't quite believe that the churches pay me to sing.
Why wouldn't they? Anyone would. You sing beautifully. Maybe you'll even sing on the stage someday.
Ma says it's not a decent occupation. But if you love a thing and do it well, how could it be indecent, I wonder?
It doesn't seem right that you shouldn't be able to be a singer if you want to, Vinny.
Maybe it isn't singing. But I know that I was meant to do something very different from other people. I was born to live a different kind of life.
What do you mean, Vinny?
I don't see things the way other people do. I remember the first day, the very first day I came to Washington. I saw President Lincoln driving through the streets in an open carriage. I'd never seen a face like his. I chased after the carriage, hoping to see him for a moment longer. It stopped, and I stopped. I stood and watched him. And then I looked down at my hands, and they were moving. I wasn't moving them. They were moving by themselves, independent of me. Well, the carriage drove away finally, and there I was, standing ankle-deep in mud, the hem of my best dress ruined, and my hands tingling. I look for him everywhere now, Jane, hoping to see him again. I carried his face in my mind for so long, but it's beginning to fade. I feel I have to see him again.
Sounds like you're in love with him.
Oh, no, it's not like that. It's his face. There is everything in his face. I tried to write a poem about him, but words can't describe. Maybe someday there'll be a statue made of him, and that'll say it.
Maybe you'll make the statue, Vinny. For certain, you're not like other folks. I expect you could do just about anything you set your mind to do. You're not like anybody else. And there's nobody better to be with than you, Vinny.
Thank you, Jane. Even when I was a little girl, way back, as far as I can remember, I could see faces and forms in the mountains and the clouds. Only Pa understood and could see them, too.
I wish this war was over and all the boys were home again.
And working in the post office.
Yes.
Uh-oh, right now Mr. Abercrombie is peering out the window at us.
He's always peering somewhere.
Time to go back.
Take a deep breath while you still can, Vin.
Someday I'll tell people that I worked here and they won't believe me.
Yes. Someday when you're famous, Vinny, I'll tell people that I knew you, and they won't believe me. I'll send them over here to Mr. Abercrombie. He'll be here forever, and he'll tell all.
Vinny went often to Lafayette Square to stand before the Jackson statue. It was one of her secret dreams to meet the sculptor, Clark Mills, who had his studio in Washington. She confessed this one day to their boarder, Senator Ross, and the following Saturday, not quite believing what was happening to her, she found herself on her way with the senator to the sculptor's studio.
Will we just walk right in?
Yes. Mills never locks a door. Everyone knows that if you walk into the studio and he speaks, then it's all right. But if he does not speak and continues on with his work, then you just turn and walk out without a word to him.
Oh, I hope he speaks to us. I hope we won't have to leave right away. I've never been so close to a sculptor's studio, and it was so difficult to talk Ma into letting me come today. I shall just die if I have to walk away and not have even a word with him.
Don't worry. I have a feeling we'll be welcome, Vinny. Aren't you welcomed everywhere you go? Doesn't everyone always want you with them?
I don't know. I never really thought of it.
It's quite true. You have a special quality that attracts people. They're drawn to you. Why should Clark Mills be any different?
But he might be very busy working.
There is one sure way to find out. Let's go in.
This is it? We're here?
Yes, Vinny.
I pray he speaks.
Hello, Senator.
Mills, hello.
Well, I see that you brought your little friend.
Yes. Clark Mills, this is Miss Vinnie Ream.
How do you do, Mr. Mills?
Very well, very well. And how old are you, Miss Ream?
16, sir.
Are you certain of that?
Why, yes, sir. I'm certain of my age.
You're so very small.
Perhaps I only appear so because you are so very large, Mr. Mills. Must a sculptor be so very big?
Well, not afraid to speak up, are you?
No, sir.
It helps, Miss Ream, to be large. Why do you ask? Do you want to be a sculptor?
Yes. But the truth is, I never really thought of it until now, but yes, I do. Being here, I feel as if I'd come home. I love the look and the smell of this room. I belong here. Until this afternoon, I wanted to sing, but now all that seems so far away. Yes, Mr. Mills, I want to be a sculptor. Am I too small?
Maybe.
My hands are too small? I don't have the strength? Is that what you think?
Well, the real question is, have you the will? Have you a large, strong will?
Oh, I have that. But why don't you ask me if I have the talent?
Well, because you couldn't know that about yourself. And besides, talent comes second. First, you must have the will, the indomitable faith. If you do not believe totally in yourself, then no amount of talent will prevail, little one.
I understand.
All right, then. Here, take this and sculpt me.
Oh, I'd rather not sculpt you.
What?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mills, but I don't know your face well enough yet. I'd rather do something I'm familiar with.
I'll do whatever you like, Miss Ream. The senator and I will leave you to your labors. Come, Senator, I'll show you a bust I'm doing of one of your colleagues. He's not of your party, but you'll admire him this way in mute clay. Where did she come from? Wherever did you find her?
I board with Vinnie's family.
She's quite a remarkable child.
Oh, Vinnie's more than that.
I'm finished.
You worked very quickly. Let's see what you've done.
Here it is.
Well, you should have told me that you've studied, Miss Ream.
But I haven't.
Never?
Never, sir.
May I ask why you chose to do an Indian?
I know Indians. I grew up with them. It is good, Mr. Mills?
It's a good beginning.
May I study with you?
Vinnie, I'm not sure that your family would want you to. You should think of that.
What's important to me is if Mr. Mills wants me to. If he thinks that I should, that I could. Do you, Mr. Mills? Do you want me as a pupil?
Yes, I do.
Then I will be your pupil.
Do you know full well all that entails, little one?
I think that I do. Why did you do that? You said it was good.
I said it was a good beginning. It was really very bad.
But it was mine.
No, it was not. It was mine. Everything you do will be mine. You will be mine, my pupil. When that ceases to be true, I will no longer be your teacher. You will no longer be my student. You will be a sculptor. But until then, you will be mine. Can you accept that, Miss Ream?
I will try, Mr. Mills.
Then we can begin.
It was winter in Washington, and the Civil War was in its fourth year. Vinnie had been studying with the sculptor Clark Mills for several months. 17 years old, her dream crystallized over the months of hard work and learning. She was obsessed with the idea of sculpting a bust of President Abraham Lincoln.
Am I late? I'm sorry.
You know you're late or you wouldn't be running.
It seems as if there's more mail every day, piles and piles of it. It's difficult to believe that letters are the only contact some have had with their boys in the war in 4 years. How much longer can it go on? I can hardly remember a time when there wasn't the war.
Vinnie, what is it that you want to tell me? Why are you saying so many words and none of them the words you have in your mind?
You know me too well.
What is it, Vinnie?
I stopped somewhere between the post office and here. That's why I'm late.
And?
And I've just found out that it's been arranged for me to meet with the president.
Well, I won't ask how it was arranged. You have a genius for that sort of thing. When is this historic meeting to take place?
Tomorrow. Why are you angry?
I know why you want to meet Lincoln. You're going to try to persuade him to allow you to sculpt him.
Yes. It's all that I've dreamed of, thought of for months. And you don't want me to do it. I don't understand you. Why?
You're not ready, that's why. Anyway, Lincoln will never agree to it. He's turned away every artist who's come to him requesting him to pose.
I know I can convince him.
And to think I once questioned whether you had a strong will. I don't know how you contain it in that little body.
Sometimes I don't. Like now, I feel I'm bursting. I will sculpt the president. I was meant to do it, and I will.
Doesn't it mean anything to you that your teacher has told you that you're not ready?
It means something to me.
But not enough to stop you?
There's nothing that can stop me. Nothing and no one.
Lincoln can. He can say no to you.
But he won't.
Has anyone ever said no to you, Vinnie?
You just did.
Yes, but you seem not to hear me.
There's your answer. People have said no to me, but I haven't heard them. I keep saying yes over and over to myself, and I don't hear them.
So you're finally going to see him face to face tomorrow.
Yes. Can't you be glad for me?
You ask too much of me, Vinnie.
Why do you say I'm not ready?
Because you're not. You're close, so close. I've never seen anyone, man, woman, or child, soak up knowledge, drink it in, and absorb it the way that you do. You're gifted, supremely gifted, and you've worked very hard. But you're rough yet. Every day you come tearing in here like one possessed, and I give you what you need. You take it all from me. Sometimes I think you'll drain me dry. But I don't care. I'll give everything to you. But we must have more time together.
So you're saying that I'm still a student, still yours. I'm not a sculptor yet, not my own.
Yes, exactly, yes.
And I need more time here with you.
Yes.
For me or for you?
You think that I want to keep you here for myself?
Don't you?
Yes, I do. I can't bear to think of you going away, not coming to me anymore, not needing me any longer.
I'm here now. Isn't that the most important thing?
Yes, you're here now. But already I hear your steps away from me, little one.
Miss Vinnie Rehm.
Yes.
Through that door. Oh, this must be Miss Vinnie Rehm.
Hello, Mr. President.
Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. I've been hearing about you. You're a sculptress.
Yes, sir.
Oh, sit down here. And you want to sculpt me?
Yes, sir.
Why me, Miss Rehm? Surely there are prettier subjects.
For me, Mr. President, there is no other subject. There is only you.
Well, you're very young, and you're a long life ahead. I think you may find many others.
Well, I hope that I do, sir, but first there must be you. I see nothing but you. Every piece of work that I begin, no matter what it is, ends being you. My teacher is growing impatient with me.
Clark Mills is your teacher.
Yes, sir. I study with him every day after I finish my work at the post office.
Do you like it at the post office?
It is necessary that I work. I don't mind it.
But you'd rather be sculpting.
Yes, sir. It's my life's work. I'm certain of that.
Your life's work. You're very fortunate, Miss Ream, to have it revealed to you so early. At your age, I didn't think that I would ever know why the good Lord saw fit to put me on this earth. I'm still not sure that I know the why of it.
Mr. President, you need only walk through that door to the people who wait outside, and they'll tell you. I can tell you, sir.
Can you? Well, tell me then, Miss Ream.
You're here to guide our nation, to preserve our union, and to lead us safely and together through the fire. Of course, sir, I cannot truly know the heavy burden that you bear. Only you can know that. Only you can feel it crushing down upon your shoulders. It occurs to me that by my coming here, I may be adding to that weight. You must forgive me. I am only a poor girl who is perhaps too ambitious, too presumptuous, and unthinking. I will go now. Thank you for allowing me to come here.
Now, wait. Now, don't go. You wanted to ask me to pose for you. You're going to leave without even making a request?
I think there are far too many requests made of you, Mr. President.
Then do not ask. But do not go either, Miss Ream. Tell me about yourself. You're from the West, is that right?
Yes, sir. I was born in Wisconsin, and I've lived in Arkansas and Missouri.
You've traveled much for one so young.
My father was a surveyor.
Was?
He was taken ill. He's no longer able to work.
And that's why you're a clerk in the post office.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to know all this?
Oh, yes, yes, I do.
Well, then, I'll tell you. I try to live my life with a sense of purpose. I work, I study, I go evenings to the soldiers in the hospitals. I sing in church choirs, and I'm paid for it. I write letters to some of the prisoners of war at Fort Delaware.
There's no pay for that.
Oh, no, Mr. President, not in money anyway, but I think I easily get as much from them and more than they do from me. War is a terrible thing, sir, and I certainly don't need to tell you that, but it is, and I can't help saying it. The loss is not only the young men who die or who are wounded, but it's those who are captured and put in prisons. They feel, sir, that they're forgotten men, that even while they still walk and breathe, life has ended for them. It goes on all around them, and yet they're no part of it. It's one of the worst things about war, the horrible waste. I despise waste. That's why I try to use every moment of my life, sir.
Do you suppose that you could manage to come here every day between 12:30 and 1 o'clock?
Here, sir?
Yes, Miss Ream, here, to sculpt me.
Oh, I could, sir.
That half hour is the time of the day that I rest, so no one ever comes to see me then. You may have your tools sent over, but it can be for that half hour only. That's all I can give you, Miss Ream.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, it's I who thank you for sparing me the time.
Tomorrow? I mean, sir, may we begin tomorrow?
Oh, yes. Goodbye, Miss Ream.
Goodbye. Mr. President?
Yes?
Sir, if you're going to do any reading, please have someone light the lights for you. You'll ruin your eyes. It's the first lesson that an artist learns, that light is precious.
But I'm not an artist, Miss Ream.
No, Mr. President, but you are precious, like the light.
Do you mind my watching you?
Oh, no, sir. I only wish you'd watched more often.
How long has it been now?
Oh, nearly 5 months. It was winter when I began. Now it's spring.
The war is over.
And I'm almost finished.
I like what you've done. I like what I appear to be to you.
Thank you, sir.
When you look up at me that way, you remind me of someone. My son, Willie. Willie died.
I know, sir. I'm sorry.
Don't look away.
But I am so sorry, sir. Sorry that I remind you.
No, I'm happy to be able to see him again. Even a little of him within you, Vinny. Vinny.
Yes, sir?
You're leaving?
It's nearly time, sir.
Why do you think, Vinnie, that it is that so many of the little ones, the innocents, are taken so early from us?
I don't know, sir.
Of course not. None of us know.
Perhaps it's not for us to know.
I hate it. But I wouldn't wish for the power to stop it.
Sir?
I've had the power to give life or take it away in this war. With a few words, I could save a deserter from the firing squad. I could approve the strategy of a battle and cause thousands to die. It weighs on me, Vinnie. Most terribly it weighs. A man should not have this power. It is God's alone. These many soldiers have been at my mercy all this long war. Now it's finally ended. Please, God, don't give me the power over the children.
They couldn't be in better human hands than yours, Mr. President. You are God's tool on this earth. I truly believe that.
I wish that I could. It's over, Vinnie. Why do I feel such dread and foreboding? Why?
I don't know, sir.
Well, it's time you were leaving, Vinnie. What will you do this evening?
I shall be singing in a special Good Friday service, sir.
I wish that I could hear you, but I must attend the theater this evening.
I will see you Monday.
Yes, Monday. Goodbye, Vinnie.
Goodbye, sir.
The president has been shot! Shot! The president has been shot! The president has been shot!
Ma! Ma!
Vinnie, what is it? A bad dream?
Did you hear those men outside?
No.
They were shouting that the president had been shot.
No, Vinnie, no. It can't be true. Most likely those men had too much to drink.
But why would they say such a terrible thing?
Well, there's no knowing why people do the things they do. You go back to bed, Vinnie. You catch your death of cold.
But, Ma, I have the feeling that the president really has been shot. And that he's dying. And that I'll never see him again.
Go back to bed, Vinnie. In the morning, that feeling will be gone. The president is fine and well. You'll see. Just wait for the morning.
Yes, Ma. Only right now, it seems the morning will never come.
Lorne Greene again. And here's the fourth act of Vinnie Ream. 1 year after Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, Congress commissioned an artist to do a life-size statue of the martyred president. They chose Vinnie Ream, and she became the first woman to be commissioned by the United States government for a work of art. The selection caused great controversy because of her youth and seeming inexperience. Nevertheless, amid the outcry, she set up a beautiful, flower-filled studio in the Capitol building and began to sculpt. Generals, senators, and sightseers all flocked to get a glimpse of Vinnie Ream, the girl artist, at work, her dark hair flowing down her back and a white dove perched on either shoulder.
Vinnie, you're working very late this evening.
Hello, Senator. Yes, it's been a long day. I've had a group of surgeons here for hours. They've just left.
Surgeons?
Before I begin to drape the statue, I want to make certain that it's anatomically correct. The doctors were giving me their opinions. They all agree that it's just as it should be.
You've worked so hard, Vinnie. I don't know how to tell you what I have to say.
What is it? What's wrong?
I've brought such trouble to you.
Oh, tell me, please, what's happened?
Late today, Congress passed a resolution closing your studio. The statue is to be removed. You were to be informed in the morning, but I had to come and tell you now. It's because of me, all because of me.
I don't understand. They cannot move the statue. It will be ruined. They cannot close my studio. I must work. Why are they doing this to me?
It concerns President Johnson's impeachment. I voted against it, Vinnie. president is saved. The radicals are enraged. They think that you influenced my vote.
I cannot let it happen. Isn't there someone I could go to?
You'd have to go into the lion's den.
I'll do that.
The only one who could help you is the most feared and hated man in this city. Maybe even in the country.
Who?
Thaddeus Stevens.
I'll send him a message asking him to come and see me.
He won't come.
He certainly won't if I don't ask him.
Vinny, you've succeeded in doing many things that I did not think possible, but this you cannot do. Give up. In a while, after things have quieted, then maybe you will be allowed to return and complete your work. But for now, it's over.
Not yet. Not until I speak with Thaddeus Stevens.
Have you ever seen the man?
No.
Oh, he's hideous, cruel, and vindictive. They say he's dying, but slowly, because even death fears him. When he approaches, dragging that club foot, everyone shakes with dread.
I won't. I will ask him to come here, and he will come. You are Thaddeus Stevens?
I am. And you are Miss Vinnie Ream?
Yes, sir.
Why have you asked me here?
I wanted you to see something. The statue. Come.
This is it?
Yes.
Why is it so dark? Nearly black. And dripping wet like that?
I was preparing to wrap it in towels and leave it. I've been ordered to go. You know that. If no one comes after me to keep the statue damp and pliant, then it will dry out, harden, crumble, and be lost. Gone.
It suits the man, black as it is.
Oh, no. It must one day be carved in the purest white marble. I was to go to Italy to find the perfect piece, but now...
Now you will not go.
So it seems.
So it is. You asked me here to see your statue. I have seen it. I will take my leave.
Wait, please. It is not my statue.
Are you saying that you're not the artist?
I am the artist. This is my work. But it is the people's statue. It belongs to them. It should be placed in the Capitol Rotunda so that everyone who desires might see it and remember the man that it represents. But that is not to be, and I don't understand why. I was hoping you could tell me.
You should have stayed with your clay, Miss Ream, and not mixed in matters that do not concern you.
What matters?
The impeachment of Andrew Johnson.
I can say quite truthfully that I never discussed anything of that nature with Senator Ross.
What is your relationship to the senator?
He boards in my family's home. He's my friend. He's helped me.
To do what?
To achieve a goal. Realize a dream. He introduced me to Clark Mills, who taught me to sculpt. And the senator arranged for me to meet Abraham Lincoln, who taught me about greatness and sadness and the depths of a human soul. I consider myself among the few fortunate ones who knew Abraham Lincoln when he lived. He turned my selfish and childish ambitions into something very different. He is dead, and there are thousands, millions, who will never know him. I want to give them at least a poor replica of him, some small awareness and knowledge of the man. You have the power to deprive them of even that. And if you do that, Thaddeus Stevens, I, for one, shall hate you forever.
I have been hated.
Have you ever been loved?
No.
Save Abraham Lincoln's memory for his people, and you will be.
Save this piece of clay, you mean?
If you truly believe that it is no more than that, then we're both wasting our time here.
How long before it would be finished?
There's still much work to be done. Another 6 months on this, and then it would be taken to Italy. The marble would have to be found, and finally from this model, the statue would be carved in the marble. That could take as long as 2 years.
So then there's nearly 3 more years of work to be done.
No. I've been ordered by Congress to stop work. There's no more work at all to be done.
3 years is a long time.
It can be.
I wish I had them ahead of me. But I do not. I will not see this statue completed, Miss Ream. But you will. and the people will.
You mean I don't have to go?
You will stay on here until you go to Italy.
But Congress and the resolution...
Other resolutions can be passed, Miss Rehm. This is your studio for as long as you need it.
Thank you, sir.
I still think the darkness suits him.
Oh, no, I see him in pure white.
Perhaps you could find a piece of veined marble, Miss Rehm. We're none of us all one thing. Goodbye.
Good evening, sir.
On a cold, wet January night in 1871, a crowd stood outside the Capitol. They were waiting to be allowed inside for the unveiling of Vinnie Rehm's life-size statue of Lincoln. There was not room for all of them to enter, but still they stood in the rain. The sound of the marine band playing a dirge drifted faintly out to them.
Ladies and gentlemen, 4 years ago, a little girl from Wisconsin occupied a modest position in the post office department at $600 a year. She had faith that she could do something better. Congress, with almost equal faith and liberality, gave her an order for the statue of the late President Lincoln. That statue and the artist are now before you. Justice Davis of the Supreme Court will now unveil the statue. The artist, Miss Vinnie Rehm.
Thank you. Thank you all. This night will live forever in my memory. I shall never forget a moment of it. When all of us here tonight, all of us who were privileged to share this earth with Abraham Lincoln, are gone, I hope that this statue will evoke the man in the eyes and hearts of all who come after us, all who pass by here. And I hope that they, too, shall never forget. Thank you.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you 5 nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, Vinnie Rehm, was written by Pamela Russell and produced and directed by Elliot Lewis. Your host was Lorne Green. Our stars were Joan McCall, Robert Rockwell, and Jeff Corey. Featured in the cast were Jack Manning, Mary Jane Croft, Stephen Roberts, Jane Webb, Ray Tosco, and Stan Waxman. The Mutual Radio Theater theme was composed by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliot Lewis production of Mutual Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Andy Griffith. Join us tomorrow at this same time. I've got another story I think you'll find riotously amusing.